Biden. We pray for our SDF community, our family and friends in Florida, and all those who are impacted both near and far. For those who are just now surveying the damage done to their homes and properties, please be their strength. May we continue to assist in all their needs. For the personnel and volunteers already here and those who are on their way, we ask for your divine protection over them and all they do. We thank you for each person willing to serve and restore in different ways. May you continue to provide for all their needs. Tonight, may our efforts be blessed and our decisions reflect what is good and right. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Please face the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Prouty, do we have any public comment? We have no speakers intending to make public comments, so we can move to the next agenda item. I'm going to turn the meeting over to Dr. P. And
thank you, Vice Chairman. At the moment, DeMeo, I'd like to announce the organizational meeting is open, and we are temporarily setting aside the regular meeting until we conclude this portion of our business. I would like to ask for nominations for the position of chairperson for the time period beginning today, October 4th, 2022. Do I see any?
I'd like to nominate Tom May to be chairman.
Any other nominations? Seeing none, I'd like to accept a vote. All those in favor, I need a motion and a second. Can I have a motion for
so
Dr.
Moved.
Mayor Scherr?
So moved.
May I have a second? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Congratulations. I'd also ask for nominations for the position of vice chair for the Board of Trustees for the period beginning today, October 4th, 2022.
I'd like to nominate Rod Thompson for vice chair.
Thank you. Other nominations? Seeing none. I'd like a motion and a second on Ron Thompson as our vice chair. Can I have a motion?
Moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Congratulations, Chair DeMeo and Vice Chair Thompson. I now declare the organizational meeting closed. Officially yours again, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. P. So I'm going to say thank you for your support. Ryan, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Talk a little bit in a bit. And Dr. B, I'm going to turn it right back to you for your president's report.
All right. Thank you, Chair DeMeo. As you pointed out, we have a new member who joined us this evening. I hope you all took the opportunity to meet Ryan Moore. Ryan, we're very happy to have you as part of our Board of Trustees. Ryan has been a part of our college in many different capacities in the past as an alum himself and his children. Also, alums of the State College of Florida. So we're thrilled to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Also, as part of my report tonight, I'd like to turn the floor over to Chris Wellman and Sean Patton, who can give us an update on the status of our Venice campus. And then I would also like Dr. Fritsch and Brittany Nielsen, Julie Jakeway, to spend a little time talking about some of the other things that we've done to help our employees and our students recover from the situation. So, Chris and Sean, all yours. Okay, you win.
I got pictures. Well, it has been a fun couple of days. I'm going to show you a couple pictures of what the hurricane did to us. Bradenton, Lakewood Ranch, very minor, trees down on Bradenton. We had Yellowstone come in, and within a day we had those trees up and stored in the back there. Never lost power on Bradenton or Lakewood Ranch, so we were very fortunate about that. The before pictures, this is driving to Venice campus. This is River Road. I don't think my app even crests till tomorrow.
I'm not sure about that. I don't think the road's open.
Right. This is coming in to the entrance off of 41. This is our marquee sign, about $106,000 to replace that. Pulled in here, no power, no water. This is the loop road. So our lake and our stormwater structure containment all became one. This is the parking lot. Actually, this is the parking lot. After the lake, the water went down a little bit. Three Porsche trucks off to the left there, the school bus. The trailers we just moved down, renovated. The water was about, so I'd say 1 to 2.5 feet, so it was about 8 inches from the floor of the trailers. But the membrane roof on the five trailers, that all ripped off. So we rained inside our trailers, the furniture, the Promethean boards, the carpet. Again, at this point, no power, water. You can see one of the light poles now. We probably lost 20 light poles. Fiberglass light poles now. This is building 500, the student union. You can see the upper pane. Some projectile or something hit the glass, busted it. Water leaves. You can't see off to the right. There's a set of double doors. One of those panes busted also. $700 Fine Arts is the kiln area. Had an enclosure there that ripped off. This is standing at building 400, looking forward to 800. That's the veterans trailer. We lost 49 trees, big oaks, 16 of them in the center of campus. You can see a lot of water there. So when you walk on that site, there's no electric, no power. Water went through most of the entrance doors, and that's where it stopped. But when you walk in with a flashlight, and you're walking through water, no AC going, it wasn't a good feeling. This is looking at the center of campus, looking towards building 500. That's looking towards 800. So that was Friday. And Bell 4 is our emergency response company. Florida Landscape, both companies showed up on site almost immediately. As of today, we probably have 50, 60 people there. And so the water drained, power came on, got all the ACs going, and the crews cleaned up. We got the humidifiers going, AC running. We're boarded up, right? Your guess is as good as mine when that window will be able to get secured. But to get power up and to get the AC going, you know, that's the difference between a happy building. Mm-hmm. If we would have went 2 or 3 weeks without power, it'd be catastrophic. The roads are clear. The water's gone. Parking lot's dry. That's where they started to stockpile the debris. That's the center of campus. All the trees are cut. All to one specific location. Stumps are beaten around. Sidewalks are clear. And our sign is. What a world of difference. And that was going to be, is power going to be out for 30 days? Is the water going to be sitting in the parking lot for 30 days? Which would be absolutely catastrophic for us to the point that the water dried up and it's as good as can be expected. So Belfer is on site right now doing moisture mapping. And every building that got any kind of moisture in it could determine if the drywall have to get cut out 6 inches above the floor, and we save the carpet. I'm just going to finish up that whole assessment here in the next couple of days. Put a remedial plan together. We're already talking about the potential of, you know, building 800, building 600, a couple of them we could potentially open next week to get a presence there and, you know, the healthiest things to keep moving forward and get the buildings operational. So I'm happy to report on where we're at today. Questions on facility?
Yeah, Chris, just when you mentioned $106,000 for that sign in Venice and then the other damage, is there insurance or how do we handle this? Just out of pocket for us or what's the deal?
So we met our insurance just, well, yesterday we met them, did a 10,000 foot walkthrough. They had a team out there today going through everything with our insurance carrier. And so between that and then this will be a FEMA hit, you've got two different buckets there. Mm-hmm.
I would just have to say that it was nothing short of a miracle. in my mind from where we were and the initial pictures that I saw and what I was able to see yesterday. So, you know, Chris, your team, everybody who was there, even on this campus, raking and cleaning and getting things back in order was just above and beyond the call of duties. Thank you very much for all of this.
But you closed the campus to students?
It is, the Venice campus is closed to the public still.
Okay, when will students be back, not till the next?
Students will be back when we deem the buildings habitable, probably initially just for the purposes of gaining connectivity. Dr. Fritsch is going to walk us through our academic continuity plan, so you understand how we're going to be accommodating our students down there.
Chris, one last question. Was the collegiate school impacted more or less same?
So the trailers, so the collegiate school is in building, first floor building 800. Water got in there, but that's dried up and minimal. The trailers are a whole other discussion.
Okay, the one we put down over summer.
Yes.
Okay, right. Okay, understood.
Any other questions?
Hi, everybody. Sean Patton, the Director of Public Safety and Emergency Management for the college. Just give you a quick overview of what we've been through and where we came from. So pre-storm, we started meeting with Critical Incident Management, as well as both Sarasota County and Manatee County Emergency Operations Centers. We're a big part of both of those entities. So we started, and through the storm, we were able to maintain continuity and briefings daily, usually two briefings a day with each county, which was allowing us to push out all of the latest storm information to our critical incident management team internally. So at about two o'clock on Tuesday before the storm, we were able to secure all three campuses, and by Thursday evening, our public safety team was back on campus securing the campuses. Now, I mentioned that we work with several entities, both pre and post-storm. We have MOUs with the island government, so they stored a bunch of their equipment here on campus, as well as, Florida Power and Light, FPL. They were a heavy presence on the campus here in Bradenton. Both of those are now gone. We also worked with FDLE for emergency response vehicles and rescue operations, which they were asking to use Bradenton and Venice as the storm tip south, so we were in constant contact with them. And also Sarasota County EOC. Right now, the Sarasota County Emergency Operations is still on our Venice campus, utilizing our parking lots for staging of emergency response vehicles, high water vehicles. The National Guard actually called and was on site for a little bit. And I believe they were landing MedFlight helicopters right at the old fire station right out in front. So we were, not only were we working internally with our team, internally to prepare and get ready for the recovery and response through it, but also all of our external partners as well. We are fully safe and secure on the campuses. We're working with facilities and the rest of the school to get back and running. And post-storm, which is the system with recovery efforts, whichever way we can at public safety. So I can answer any questions. I don't have any pictures of this.
So academically, we suspended classes and closed the college Tuesday through Friday of last week. We reopened the college to staff, but Monday also did not have classes. Thanks to the good work that you just saw, we were able to resume classes for students in both Bradenton, Lakewood Ranch, and our e-campus. So folks are back up. Venice, we've made the decision to implement our continuity plan, which we added to our college's continuity of operations plan about 3 years ago. So up to 5 days, we leave it to faculty discretion to be able to make up the time lost for the cancellation of classes. But because of the nature of accessibility to our campus, but I would say more importantly or most importantly, the things people are dealing with, their ability to maintain continuity, both students and faculty, because so many of them are impacted in the Venice region, we made the decision to implement our remote protocols, very similar to what we did for COVID, for our Venice campus through the fall semester. Our hope is that we'll be able to get access back to the campuses soon for connectivity issues and support issues and things like that. We'll likely continue remote instruction through the fall semester to give that stability. So we've given them through this week, our faculty, to make that pivot, much like we did with COVID. The entire college pivoted in 3 days in response to COVID. Knowing that people are facing their own connectivity challenges and personal circumstances there, we've given them through this week so that starting Monday we'll be fully remote for Venice face-to-face courses. If they were already online, they're already online. We are leaving it up to faculty where there may be discretion for deviation from that plan. For example, nursing, if we can get back into the skills labs, their hands-on practical work is necessary. There's only so much we can support through simulation. Science labs is another example. We're going to allow faculty work with their chairs and assistant deans to make requests, and Dr. Kiefer and I will review those requests and approve them for deviation from the remote plan. But generally, the campus will continue through fall fully remote as far as instruction goes, and the places we need to deviate from that, we'll approve those things so that we maintain continuity. But it was the most fair and consistent approach we felt. Our Academic Leadership Council met last week to review all of our options. We felt that was the best course of action, so people knew what the plan was going to be and could react to that plan and know that that plan will be maintained through the fall semester.
Can you speak to the collegiate school?
Collegiate school, absolutely. So by going fully remote, you probably know we use several classrooms in the first floor of Building 800, and we've had to secure that in order to maintain the security protocols necessary for our collegiate high school. The modulars that were moved down by facilities over the summer were taking care of grades 9 and 10. Those modulars won't be used certainly in the fall. Perhaps, if we're lucky, they'll be back online in January. But because we won't be using the physical classrooms in the remainder of 800, I think we've identified a plan to be able to open up access to those classrooms and maintain the security necessary because nobody else will be in that space. Second floor is our nursing skills lab, but they can walk right in the front door and go upstairs and not have to access that sort of horseshoe loop that's around the Selby area in there. So I think we've got a really good plan for that. Sarasota County has announced just today that they're having a multi-phased approach to reopening schools. We're in phase one, so we're hopeful that we can reopen. Waiting for further guidance on that, but basically Taylor Ranch, which is the school right adjacent to our campus north, will open Monday, they hope, and the second phase of that will come weeks after that because so much is still impacted in South County, primarily in the Northport Venice area. So we're having to navigate that as well, but our team has done a great job staying in contact with the district and making preparations for all of that. So I think we're in the best shape we can be. Again, you've seen the work that public safety and facilities and really everybody has done to support getting back on track as quickly as we can to help students meet their learning outcomes.
Can those students invest physically drive up here and go share the classes, be admitted to classes up here?
College students can certainly, if they're able to drive to Lakewood Ranch or Bradenton, so many of them are not able to do that, they certainly could come for access to resources, support, connectivity. Lakewood Ranch, for example, has extended its hours in the Learning Commons to provide access to both faculty and students. We've opened up our conference space there. We're working on opening up computer labs. IT is looking at repurposing existing laptops that we would have used for physical presence to be able to distribute them so we can maintain continuity. We're doing everything we can to get people the access they need. But they'll still be, if they're Venice campus students who had face-to-face courses, they will still be transitioning fully online for the remainder of the semester. How and where they do that, we're trying to provide as much flexibility as we can.
However, we are just now opening enrollment. Well, not we have been, but for our Flex Start classes for this semester. If there are Venice students who want to engage in a face-to-face class, there are those Flex Start classes on Lakewood Ranch and Bradenton they could choose to enroll in. And that's kind of getting in the weeds, but we also have Dr. Fritsch and his folks have been working along with Brittany on giving students incompletes since the grading period for the first Flex Start classes is the next week, I believe, to help them transition. So they won't be precluded from registering for subsequent classes.
We're going to maintain our academic calendar and not make any changes to that because that'll have downstream consequences to the other parts of term. So we're going to maintain all of that and using completes and work with Brittany's team to develop a process not to purge students from those enrolled second Flex Start courses. And allow our faculty to advise them on whether they think they'll have the best chance of taking the subsequent course in the next 8 weeks or not. They're the best position to advise that potential success or not, and we'll advise them that way.
So students at both college, Summer College, and at the high school in Venice are going to miss 2 weeks, basically. instruction. And so is that made up? Do we have, is there a makeup system for that? I'll just leave the question
there. There is. The shift to remote and fully online gives us greater flexibility to flip that classroom and maintain the necessary contact hours and achievement of learning outcomes.
Those 2 weeks?
That's right.
And that, okay.
Yep. We're looking at certain programs will have unique needs where we may need to take some holiday periods or days that would have been off days and use those for makeup. Dental hygiene clinic's a great example. They're not coming back till Monday because of the population we serve. The folks who receive service through the clinic aren't able to get to the clinic, and so we're having to, you know, sort of manage on a program-by-program basis sometimes.
Dr. Fritz, different than COVID, because when you made the pivot in COVID, everyone had electronic connectivity. Mm-hmm. How are you going to handle students that just flat out can't perform because they can't get out and they have no connectivity?
Yeah, that's true for our faculty as well. We've set up resources for them. We've got call-in opportunities for people to say they need support, whether it be personal or professional. And the faculty is doing everything they can to secure those resources to give them that connectivity that's necessary. Department chairs have been in touch with most of their, both adjunct and all of their full-time faculty. If people are unable to continue, then they're developing the plans to find replacement instructors for those courses to maintain that. There will be students who simply cannot maintain continuity, and we're going to be as flexible with them as we were during COVID. There are various policies that we can have some flexibility around as far as late withdrawals without penalty, utilizing incompletes, giving people time to get that work done once they get back on track.
So for student services, one of the things, starting with athletics program, we have canceled all games this week. We just heard back from the bus company, so Delphin is located in Naples and has a spot in Sarasota, and we just heard back from them. Their mode of transportation yesterday. Our student athletes just received power back in 30 West last night at 7:01 p.m. So we were very flexible with athletes coming back to say there is space, there's not power, but we also provided food for them here through Canteen. So they had food service yesterday as well as today, so they can restock. Couple other things across student services and enrollment management. A little bit about our flex start. So we have our 8-week course starting next week. We have what's called the void. So if you don't have payment in, then you're removed from the class. We push that back, and we're going to disperse financial aid early that day first. So if they're financial aid eligible, they will not be voided from the class. We extended that to give them some flexibility in this time, especially if students are wanting or needing to pick up an 8-week course right now, they can do that. We've moved back to COVID protocols. So our orientation is online, if, again, you have connection and access. We have tutoring 100% available in person here as well as online. Academic advising, you'll hear in the presentation, but our spring registration started Sunday. That's high time for academic advising and coaching and us to reach out to our students, our faculty, to remind students to register for spring semester. So that is certainly going to be an impact. The other piece that we have done is we have our PERT testing and our testing center in Venice. So we've moved to expand operations in Lakewood Ranch here, and we've also opened it up online, similar to COVID. The last thing we are doing is working with the federal government right now. Our veterans, under certain benefits, are required to have so many in-person classes. We've reached out to them to say, similar to the pandemic, they started in person. We need a waiver to guarantee those benefits continue if some of their courses shift to online. So we have that in place as well. Right now, the biggest thing is starting to look and connect our students to mental health resources. So we're already seeing students coming in from Venice, coming to campus here. For access and resources. So those are the big things that we have our eye on. As far as donations, I don't know if you would like me to touch on donations, Dr. P.
Sure.
We've had, with Julie overseeing and spearheading it, a ton of our college campuses, the Great 28, sending tons and tons and tons of donations. We had a truck in collaboration with Fleet Force. They gave us a truck to put all the supplies in, take it down tomorrow. We will have a donation pickup in the parking lot of Venice in a Fleet Force truck. So the donations are down there. We have staff who think they want to be doing things if they're able to. So we have care packages put together of cleaning supplies, personal hygiene, socks, I mean, you name it, it's in there. And the donations continue to come in from our colleagues across the way. We're focusing at also restocking food pantry here. That's what we're hearing. People who didn't have power, they have to throw everything away in the fridge, and they're just trying to find ways to restock, feed their families. Children are not in school. You know, things are happening right now. So I'm very, very grateful for the outpouring of support.
I'd like to acknowledge Commissioner Diaz and Chancellor Hebda, who have been on the phone with me since right after this happened, offering all and any support that we would need. Started immediately reaching out to our sister schools to put together shipments for us. Julie certainly has been the tip of the spear in putting together all of our critical incident management team meetings, making sure that we were staying on top of the issues with the very poignant agendas, being the contact person when those schools are scheduling deliveries. So everybody has just been, it's been an all hands on deck. Everybody's done their part, but I can't begin to thank our sister schools and what it means, not just in terms of the practical needs that students have, but the hope that it provides to people who are dealing with such devastating loss. So I just want to acknowledge and thank them.
So what can we do as a board, you know, personally, or?
What was the question?
What can we do as a board, personally, or?
Well, we set up a button right away on the foundation and college webpage for people who want to make contributions, because, you know, we're just experiencing now as students are coming in and letting us know, and employees are letting us know what their needs are. We're getting wonderful contributions, but we're every day we come up with new things that we need. We're finding that when water recedes, your refrigerator no longer works after it's been sitting in water for 3 or 4 days. So there are things like that that are now coming to the forefront that we know we're going to have to try and resolve. So cash donations are always the best, because it gives us the flexibility to go get people what they really need.
And those emergency resources, some of the things coming back from students are, I had to stay home because my children are not in school, and so now I'm back on rent. And I have to pay, so any financial things can help to alleviate some of those things that are going to happen next week, the week after.
We're very lucky. Walmart has made a generous contribution to us through, they were going to send items, but instead, Brittany talked them into giving us a gift card to take care of some of those things that we just haven't even been able to unearth yet that we know we're going to need. And I don't want to leave Ryan out of the picture, his folks. Ryan and IT have made sure that we do have internet services on all of our campuses, including down in Venice. So when buildings are ready, students can come and have access again. The only issue I think we're still grappling with is inbound and outbound calling from our Venice campus on our phone system. But we have a help ticket on that, and I have some work to do in accelerating that to the Department of Ed to see if they can help us to get that ticket serviced quickly so we can help our students get back.
How many students are we talking about in Venice?
I'm sorry?
Population of Venice. How many students we have down there?
Well, it's hard to capture because we have some traveling up to Bradenton. So they are allowed to take classes anywhere. So I would have to go course by course.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's another thing, that it's not just that campus. We have faculty, staff, and students who commute up here. So we're making sure that we're providing resources across the board.
We do have students and employees who live as far as Arcadia and other areas that are still dealing with flooding. So it's really a moment-by-moment assessing needs and helping people get what they need so we can get back to some semblance of normal. Julie, you want anything?
God, do I have anything else to add?
She's doing it all.
Dr. P, any word on our sister schools down south?
Good question. Florida Southwestern right now have no campuses that they're able to reopen. They're very devastated.
That's at Fort Myers.
Fort Myers, there may be some hope that some of their, maybe a campus that's closer away from, or further away from the shoreline might be able to open soon, but it's going to be a while for them. South Florida State College, they've got a lot of flooding and water intrusion issues they're still dealing with, but I think they only have one campus yet that they've been unable to open. And the other is Daytona State College, also flooding issues, and they have one campus. So all in all, and really Florida Southwestern took the brunt of it. Our hearts go out to them. Daytona, South Florida State College, and State College of Florida, as far as I know right now, each have one campus that we're still trying to get back on track.
Trustee Goodson, in answer, in answer to your question, right now there's about 1,100 students that are taking at least one class in Venice.
I think that ends my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your report. I think we're going to move on to meet the mission. Brittany.
All right. Want to give you an insight into our fall of 2022 profile. This is something I started last year, and it goes out college-wide to everyone to let them know who we have on campus with us. So what I will be doing is sharing with you our FTIC, our first time in college, some of our demographic data, along with our overall student data, and then end with some information on our veteran and international students. So the great news, I hate to follow up after our conversation, but the great news is enrollment was up. It was up. We saw an over 10% growth with our FTIC, our first time in college, and that was such a success. You can see with load hours, 18,592 compared to our load hours, 16,403, and our student headcount. So that was a huge success for us coming in. We still had a small class last year, so not only the recruitment, but we talk about the retention efforts that we need to do to retain these students, have another big class come in so we can get our overall enrollment numbers up. Some other information on here, just our top counties, of course, Manatee and Sarasota, looking at our male and female distributions, and then just some information on some of the top states that we're seeing for our first time in college. Some other information of our FTICs. We have about 1,100 students that have identified as first-generation students, that is self-identified. We have the status. I always find this interesting. A lot of our FTIC tend to be full-time, so that's good information. We like to see around the 15 load hour mark, 15 credits. Some information, too, on GPA. One of the things that I tend to look at right here is those 2.0 or above, and then 1.9 or below. And you can see a lot of our students are that 2.0 and above. But this is great information to know that we have a vast variety of students coming into our classrooms. Some fun information, our top 10. One of the things that I liked to see this year, you will notice that at 5, we were still at the 100 mark. 5 here, we were at 90. So we are seeing the increase in enrollment, but we definitely saw a shift from last year to this year. And it's always good to see who's kind of pulling out towards the top in our enrollment. The breakdown of race, we did see an increase of our first time in college students. Last year, looking at our numbers, our Hispanic population, 32%. Last year it was 29. So we did see that, and we had a presidential goal around our Hispanic population. The other piece, too, is our FTIC with our Black students. We stayed the same. So we're seeing an increase in number, but percentage-wise, we stayed the same. age group. Just looking at the breakdown, too, again, the majority of our students are 17 to 21, our first time in college. But it is interesting to see not all of them are. So we have other populations coming in as first time in college. So now changing gears, this is overall student enrollment. This includes everybody that is a part of State College of Florida. You will see a load hours, again, along with our headcount. You will see the increase. That's exactly what we want to see year over year, is a continuation of increase. You can see by degree types, our number one is the Associate of Arts. A lot of them utilize that transfer to finish their bachelor's degree, although we try to retain them to take ours. So that's something we look to do. Couple other pieces of information, again, the counties, we did see a shift. Sarasota, we are seeing more students come from Manatee County than we are Sarasota from year over year. So that was some unique data. And then 13 from New York, just they're coming to Florida. Our rates overall enrollment, we did see, again, our Hispanic population grow with the continuation of our FTIC helping in that. Last year, our overall student enrollment with Hispanic population was 23. We are up to 25%. And again, overall age group. I think it's really interesting to see that we tend to look at our major pool, our major population of the traditional students, which is the 17 to 21. The 21, almost 22% of our students are 22 to 28 years old. And then you can see even, you know, we're close to 30% who are 22 to 35. So I think it's important information that we keep in mind when we have conversations and we say, did you talk to mom and dad? You don't want to say that to a 27-year-old. Maybe, but it's just important information that I think is beneficial for all of us in the college community. Our veteran population, we have 278 veterans registered, 175 at Bradenton, and 103 at Venice. So that's something that we're definitely keeping in mind. And then we have numerous veteran events as well. So we have our 9/11, but some interesting ones. We have a job fair, our Paychecks for Patriots, and then we have our Veterans Day program as well. International students stayed the same from last year to this year. We saw 17 new international students, and we have 38 overall. You can see top countries of origin. And then the big question I tend to get is how many of them are athletes? We have 12. And we have 22 countries represented here at the State College of Florida. Some interesting information I usually put out, save the dates. One of the things we try to encourage with our entire campus community is engagement and involvement that helps with retention. When we have events, when we have our club rushes, our club fairs, when we have some other workshops, it's really great to see the entire community come out. It allows for engagement with students and their faculty outside of the classroom, with our college coaches. So we shared the save the dates. The big one that I had mentioned before, this is going to impact our registration. Usually we do a huge flash, a huge flyer. Almost every single one of our athletes is registered for the spring. They have priority registration, so we're very particular about getting them signed up for the spring semester. But we're going to have to really try to work with our students in the current situation that we're in and also move them to register for those spring classes. And we did have other events that you can see we've had to cancel and move. The one event that I want to highlight for all of you is really a collaboration with Academic Affairs and with Student Services, and it's our hashtag Get Hired event. We're working right now, as you can see, October 6th, October 12th, October 19th. It has an impact, but one of the things that I found so unique with this event is it was a true collaboration with our community partners as well. We had, at the first one, the personal brand we had CEOs coming in talking about what it means to basically be a walking, talking billboard of yourself. The degree you need, experience, but what else are you bringing to the table? So our students got to interact with our community partners and our businesses to create that. So this series will happen again in the spring. The other piece that I thought was really valuable is we hosted it in person at all three campuses, and then we also beamed it out to the other two. So it was accessible to every single student, both in person and then streamed out. So we're going to try right now, we're working with our business partners to see if they're able to flip to Bradenton for the job fair, but we're just not sure. But this is an event that really, it started last year and it's grown, and I foresee it to be a long-standing event that we have for our students.
Brittany?
Yes?
Are the interviews mock interviews?
Yep.
Okay.
And a lot of information, too, I can go back to it. You know, with interviews, it's also, is it on the phone? Is it Zoom? Is it in person? Do you have to give a presentation? You know, all those little nuances that happen. And some of the things even during interviews, do you bring a portfolio? Do you bring your resume? Do you send the thank you card? What are you doing? So it is that option to do the mock interviews with them, but also talk about the variety of interviews that are happening.
So you teach them not to text during the interview.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, you don't do that? Yes, exactly. Show up early. The last piece here, this is the last slide, just some fun facts. This is for our traditional student body who's coming in. Things like Facebook has been active for their entire life. There's giggles. You know, for incoming students, Hillary Clinton has always had more of a significant role in politics. It's just interesting information about the students we're seeing coming in. So, and the second to last one is definitely true. We had some robust conversations. The mental health piece, especially now, we have students that were shut down for COVID and they're shut down for the hurricane. And the impact on them. We have a high focus on the mental health and the resources for our students coming in, and those who are even applying and trying to get through FAFSA and some of those other things. But overall message, really excited about where our enrollment is trending, where it is going, the amount of work and energy and the collaborations across the board. A huge thank you with retention. One of the things that our team does is they go into the classrooms, they send out an invite to faculty and instructors, and we had, I think it was over 30 classroom visits where our college and career success coaches were going in and talking about registration, how to prepare, financial aid, getting them ready to stay with us in the spring, and that access in the classroom is so valuable. So those are the things that we have to continue to do and support for one another. Any questions?
Great job.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Brittany.
We're going to receive a phone call from the Chancellor of the Florida College System. She would like to have a moment to just speak to us, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely fine.
Good evening, Chancellor Hibda. I have you on my speakerphone.
President Crumsfield and members of the board, I am just pleased to have this moment to say that our hearts are with you, our thoughts are with you, and we are working. working every minute that we can to help you recover. But we are just so in admiration of President Postville, Julie, the whole team there, and everything that you're doing. It's been amazing what you have been able to do so far. And just listening to the presentations this evening, you all are, as always, always just completely on top of it, doing everything you can for your students and your staff. As I said, we admire that so very, very much. And we're here to help in any way that we can. Board members, we always appreciate your service, volunteering your hours to support our colleges, and especially in times like this when you have your own concerns and your own families and neighborhoods to worry about, that you're still here meeting in person tonight in the midst of all this to do the business of the college and to keep things going. So again, thank you for allowing me to take this moment in your very busy board meeting with a lot of very important matters to just share our admiration for your president, your leadership team, for you, and continue to pledge our support. Commissioner Diaz, I send greetings and the same message from him. As President Postville said earlier, he did reach out to her right away, and he stands ready, as does the rest of our team, Senior Chancellor Mack and all of us, to help in any way that we can. In fact, I'm going to be there Monday. There's another truck coming to help from several of your sister colleges along I-95 that are putting together more supplies for your employees and your students, and I'm looking forward to laying eyes in person on your president and your team.
Thank you, Chancellor Hebda. Does anybody want to make a comment or have a question for the Chancellor?
Just thank you for your support. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. That's what we're here to do. So you all take care. Have a good rest of your meeting. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening. All right, so we're going to move on. We have the approval of the non-financial consent agenda items.
I move approval of non-financial consent agenda items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Can I have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? The approval carries. And I ask for approval of the financial consent agenda items.
I move for approval.
Second.
We have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Are those opposed? And that carries as well. Just for informational purposes, the Exhibit Double D project list was in our packet again, so if you have any questions, we're not going to be addressing it, but it was in the packet, and we'll move on to facilities. Chris, the floor is yours.
Science building. Looking for the guaranteed maximum price contract approval. The board did approve this project, approved the use of construction management project delivery, and Tandem Construction as the construction manager. And we did select them through the Consultant Competitive Negotiation Act and did a separate CCNA for that. Bid documents were completed, including construction drawings and specifications. Tandem advertise. They received competitive subcontractor bidding per Florida statute. And the total cost of construction, including general conditions, subcontractor costs, overhead and profit, is $5,054,376.48. And this is within the total project budget of $5.8 million. So we're requesting board approval to contract tandem construction for the $5,054,376.48.
I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, the second is the fire alarm panel replacement, again with the contract approval. This project replaces 19 fire alarm control panels, 11 on the Bradenton campus, 8 on the Venice campus. These are obsolete Simplex fire alarm control panels that are no longer supported. The Simplex fire alarm system that we've got, which is now bought out by Johnson Controls, will only function with the Johnson Controls fire alarm panel, so we are connected after that. To strive for fair and reasonable pricing, we're utilizing a cooperative purchasing agreement, Sourcewell. Sourcewell issued a national request for proposal and received competitive pricing from Johnson Controls. SCF is receiving 25% to 30% off list price on equipment and material. Requesting board approval to contract with Johnson West Center Office Suite, a new project, looking for project approval. Requesting project approval to construct an office suite in 26 West Center. SCF is leasing space to the Economic Development Corporation. And the college executed a business roads lab space agreement. The remodel will consist of constructing 6 offices and a break room. Includes the wall systems, fire detection, fire sprinkler, electrical, mechanical, IP, furniture access control, and signage. The project budget is $250,000, $100,000 from the grant, $150,000 from fund balance. Requesting project board approval.
I think you want to go back one. Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
How much is, or what's the tenancy in it currently? How much space is left vacant or rented?
So this particular space is a completely open space on the second floor of 26 West. If you remember the tour, when we went up the stairs to the left, that was a completely vacant space. Chris, I don't know if you know, I don't remember the total square footage of that space off the top of my head. I know that this 6-suite office is roughly 1,400 square feet that they'll be using, and it's sort of in that back corner of that. The remainder of that space is going to stay open to house their board meetings, for example, and you can see 40, things like that. So they've taken a small portion of that, and they've signed a 4-year agreement with us for space.
4 years?
The initial agreement, 4 years.
What's the first floor like in the first suite?
Nearly fully either leased or committed and utilized. Yeah, some of that's being utilized for our own purposes, for our digital collective, for example. On the half that we had dedicated to business growth lab, it's nearly 100% leased.
I have to commend, I mean, I don't have a question, but I have a comment. Dr. Fritz, it's a fabulous job to get Bradenton Area UDC into that building. With 40 board members coming 8 times a year, I believe they have meetings 8 times a year. How many do we have? 8 meetings a year. And the people that will be seeing that facility, that's an incredible opportunity for the college. So great job for you and the team. Did I have a motion?
You do now.
So moved. Second?
Second.
We have a first and a second. Take a vote.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, so the office suite built out in 26 West will utilize a movable wall system. The SCF standard movable wall system is manufactured by Trendway. Contract Furniture is the authorized provider of the Trendway product. Contract Furniture is providing SCF pricing based on the Florida Department of Management Services. They have a furniture state contract. Competitive pricing was received from Trendway to Florida Department of Management Services. And we get the reap the benefit of that. SCF is receiving a discounted pricing at 71.2% off list price. If we're requesting board approval to contract with contract furniture for $78,781.50. And this amount is within the $250,000 project budget.
Any questions? I'll take a motion.
So moved.
We have a first, second.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
We're now going to review the synopsis of the pending rule revisions that we have, and I believe they're first pass.
This is the first viewing of these two college rules that are being revised or proposed for revision. They're not being acted on this evening. They'll be back for your action in the future. The first change simply reflects some change to titles. The second rule revision is an effort to streamline some of the grant application processes at the college, and again, they'll be back for action. They'll actually be back at our December meeting.
I don't think we need the vote, so any questions? Well, thank you for the presentation. We're going to move on to President's goals. So you all had in your packet a review of the 2021-2022 goals. And before we go further, I just want to say to Dr. P and the team here at the college that incredible year in meeting what you were looking to meet. Maybe trying times right now, but what we saw over the last 12 months was incredible performance. I'm expecting that same performance next year as I step into the chair seat, maybe a little bit more. But I just want to talk a little bit about having met almost every goal, and if you looked at where we were today versus other times, we would have met the last goal as well, I understand. So, you know, just amazing in terms of what I think we've seen out of the school. To see increasing enrollment numbers up on the board is what we've all been asking for, probably for a few years. So to see that is absolutely incredible. So, Dr. P, I just think you had a great year. Thank you. Do you want me to go over each one?
Not unless the board
divides. Do we have any questions on any of the individual goals or attainment?
I have a couple. Mostly easy. I mean, like you said, it's excellent. I was curious on goal number one, where are the bounce rates the highest? I noticed that we did make a lot of growth in certain areas, but we only listed two lower bounce rates in terms of the website. So where are we falling short? Do we know?
We're falling short in the areas where we do disruptive marketing, where we have ads bouncing to where people, it may not be what they're expecting, but also in areas where we need to improve what the content is. In some instances, it may be a catalog page that has an immediate click off or link to another page, and that's what we're looking to do so that it's a user experience. The new website is catering to that. So what we're doing is we're just addressing that on a high needs basis, and as we're seeing it climb, we're going to be very high. That's how we're addressing it now.
I didn't know what disruptive things were, but it's if you're on your computer doing something and it's popping up in your face and you don't necessarily want that. So those are pretty easy to.
It's a good thing we're investing in 26 left, isn't it? The other question I had was, when do we look at goals going forward, I guess?
We meet as a team of senior administrators early in the year, January-ish, and try to bring them to you. I think for first view, February and then March, Susan, I think you have that timeline. So we've got time to get, you know, feedback from the board and revise and adjust so we can align them with when the rest of the college community is starting to set their goals, because we like everybody to kind of be working on the same focus.
Great questions. Any other questions?
I just make a comment. I worked with Carol a little bit because I always feel like stretch goals, if she meets all the stretch goals, they were too easy. I tried to make them more difficult, and even not the stretch ones. These are extra and on top of her already, you know, large job that she has. So I don't know if I failed to make them hard enough, or she just did an excellent job. But I think that the reality is that, just as the chancellor was saying, we actually do have a really good college president on our hands here. And it sort of shows in these, and for those of you to go through the next ones and all, you can also try and make sure that they're really, you know, high goals to reach and all, and you'll find that she's probably going to do it.
So, Trustee Thompson, just because I came in after, I guess, November of last year, so were these one-off goals for the 21-22 year, fiscal year?
I'm not following one-off. For each one of these?
Well, I mean, kind of.
Do they carry on? You mean?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No, right. They're just for each year, and it's a new set of goals. For the next year, or however we decide to do
some
it.
Make it.
Well, I guess disconnect, because Trustee Collins was asking when do the new goals come out, but if they come out in the spring, that doesn't quite make sense for this.
Well, if they come out in the spring for the next year, the July through June.
Okay. So we already have them for?
We already have them for the
22,
current
23. Okay.
So understood. In the spring, we'll be looking at those that will start in the following July.
Okay.
Yeah. And then to your question initially, for example, the zip code goal. We wanted to get applications. Our next step is how do those convert into students? And then if we're converting those into students, how are we retaining them? And then can we see those students through to graduation? So we can choose to put goals around that, or that's just what we're trying to do with this cohort now that we've established it.
Understood.
I'd also like to say thank you for all the compliments. This is not a singular activity, but we sit down with the senior team and we really work through these, put together a lot of data and a lot of thought and a lot of strategies, and you know, but for everybody sitting around this table and then everybody that works for them and everybody that works for them, we wouldn't begin to be able to achieve any of this.
I need a motion to accept the goals and targets for additional retirement.
Hey, you can move that.
So second. All in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed? No. The goals and targets are passed. We're going on to old business. Do I hear any old business? Seeing no hand raised. Do we have any new business? I see a hand raised.
I just wanted to let the board know that as the adjusters are preparing information for us, we're going to need to execute contracts in the next couple of weeks before we have the opportunity to get back together again at the end of the month. We have a policy and a procedure that allows me to do that, but we'll be bringing those things back to you in October for your ratification.
Any other new business? Seeing none, Jamie, will you start if you have board comments?
I'm just amazed and thrilled at the speedy process for recovery of Venice and the campuses, and kudos to everyone. You guys are amazing, and thank you so much. Yeah.
Probably know I'm on the board, Mills on Wheels, and past chairman. Devastation out east of Due West, my Pacific, and significant. We've been hit on 3 drop-off points for food for people that are just devastated by the storm, just like we are. It's been awful. In this county, I didn't realize that it is. So we're persevering. Yeah, we got 2 trucks out of Iowa today.
Wow.
Big trucks out of Iowa. Say how people are helping out.
That's good.
I just want to commend the staff too. I don't always like to just give people all sorts of kudos for doing their jobs, but clearly the staff goes above and beyond a lot. And not just in this instance, but this is a great example. I will note that Julie Jakeway said almost nothing in this meeting, but got mentioned by everybody. So I'm just going to point that out too. And I just really appreciate the professionalism of our staff and the way they're able to get things done, you know, across the board. We just have a, from my observations, it's a very strong staff. And I just want to put that on the record for the next time I have an issue with something.
Likewise, I just want to comment that the speed of the response tells me that there's a lot of foreplanning that's been thought through. So that's impressive to see because, as Warren Buffett famously said, you don't know people are wearing shorts until the tide goes out, right? So just quick news from the foundation. We ended the fiscal year September 30th. The fundraising budget for Cassandra and her team and the foundation board was $2 million, and they raised $3.4 million. So, very, very nice. Primary reason, we had three in-person fundraising events, which, you know, during COVID went virtual, and family foundation giving. That was the other big jump. Back to Trustee Carter, how can you help out? So far, the Hurricane Ian Emergency Fund at the foundation has raised $1,395, which won't go very far. So know that there's a button on the foundation webpage. Please, if you feel led, give and share that information to other people so we can get some funds in there to help. Lastly, we have some new foundation leadership. Chris Romine, who many of you know, 1982 alumnus here at MCC, is an employee at Northern Trust, is our new board president. Laura Cota, the board vice president, is owner of Cota Insurance Group on the PNC side. Dorothy Corzin, who's the past president, she's a principal with the Farr Law Firm, so she'll be staying on in a overseeing role. Jody Allen is our treasurer. She's a 1986 alumni. She's worked for SunWest Bank, and she has been, how many years has she served on the foundation board?
She served one full 12-year term. She rolled off for 1 year. She loved us so much, she rolled back on after 1 year, and the board accepted her, so she's in her second term.
I think Cassandra has dirt on her. That's she does a great job. And then we have a new addition to the board, Lisa Krebs Knepp. She is with Bank of America Wealth Management, so she came on the board this last meeting. That's it. Brian?
Well, I'm the new kid on the block, but I feel like an old kid on the block, too. So I'm pretty humbled to be here with you guys today. For those who don't know me, my introduction into MJC, way back when I was, I think, 7 years old, I was the bat boy here for the baseball team here under Coach Wen, who founded the program. And so to be sitting in the Board of Trustees chair 51 years later is crazy and very humbling and honoring. So I'm familiar with a lot of the faces around the campus through the years. I've played sports here. I played baseball here. Was fortunate enough to continue my career in the athletic world. And it was such an honor that I got to see my own son play the athletics here too. And graduate from SCF. I graduated from MCC, so he got the SCF. So I feel like we have the whole spectrum covered, the gold and the blue, royal to the green and the blue. So I dress for the occasion. But anyway, so I'm proud to be a part of the board. I hope to contribute in any way possible. And again, you know, I'm new, so, but to based on the presentations and the comments in the room, kudos to, as an owner of a company, it takes many Indians to accomplish any success. And so I can only imagine what you guys have been through, so kudos.
Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you.
can't follow the tie.
Well,
it's a nice tie.
I wasn't a really big green fan of the SEF colors, but somehow I found a tie that had a little bit of shade.
So I'll just continue to love Fest. You guys are absolutely amazing. I think you you hit the nail on the head. The faster you're able to get back to normalcy, the better the mental health will be on everybody. So everything you guys are doing, keep it up. Let us know how we can help. We do.
You know, I'll ditto what everyone said. The only thing I want to add is when you see a chancellor get on the phone and give the time to this group, and it wasn't to us, but to make sure the whole college knew how she felt, and then you see the love pouring in from the other state colleges that are collecting items that are going to be trucked over here and distributed out to our staff and our students, that says what State College Florida is about. So it's not how we perform, it's how we are seen by others performing, and we're obviously doing the right thing. So keep doing them. Despite where we're at in cleanup, it's going to get harder. My belief is it's going to get harder as those people don't have connectivity to be able to do some of the things that they would love to be doing. So thank you for doing it and every day that you do it. So with that, I think we're adjourned.